the Roman emperor, not any other Roman soldiers, not even any of the other pagan religions, but Jesus is the mediator, the go-between, between God the Father, the creator of the world, and people, the church. This one, like the Son of Man, has white hair because he's perfect holiness and perfect wisdom. Another image from the Old Testament. He has bronze feet because he is strong. Because all of the great leaders of the Old Testament talked about having statues made of them to be memorialized for eternity. But Jesus would be the only one who really would be memorialized throughout all history. He is the only one who is enduring. And he stands among lampstands because he's not abandoned the church, but he stands among the church. As the lampstands, John explains, reflect the church. And he holds seven stars in his hands because Jesus, not the stars, Jesus is the one who controls the destiny of all things. And this one, like the Son of Man, has a sword out of his mouth because his power lies not in brute force. Christ's power lies not in military strength. Christ's power lies not in political influence. Christ's power lies in his word. Remember, this is John writing, who begins his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is power. And so with this, John wants to evoke in those who will hear and see, to invoke the hope of the world. He wants our view of Jesus to go beyond our expectation. All of our what ifs, all of our fears are fulfilled in Jesus. Are cast away, in fact. All of our what ifs are fulfilled in Jesus. All of our fears are cast away in Jesus. In the final view, Jesus will be at the center of all things. And John urges us to grab a hold of the biggest picture possible. You know, I think our problem is not even that we have too big, certainly never probably, that we have too big of a picture of Jesus, but perhaps not even that we have too small of a picture of Jesus. I think our problem is that we have too medium-sized picture of Jesus. We think of Jesus too ordinarily. We think of Jesus too logically. We think of Jesus only in the context of what we can understand. And what John is trying to portray here is a vision for us to be able to imagine the majesty of Jesus Christ that goes way beyond any of our expectations, so that in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our brokenness, we can gather up a vision of the great majesty of Jesus Christ, who alone can conquer all of our fears. Jesus, the majesty of Jesus, stands at the very center, at the very center of all things, at the very center of your individual life, at the very center of our corporate life together, at the very center of the Word of God, at the very center of the world of God. Jesus is the very foundation and center. He holds all things together. He is the one who has the last word. That's what this vision tries to communicate. And with that vision of the one like the Son of Man, we see the majesty of Christ. But we also see then the might of Christ. The Son of Man places his right hand. I want you to imagine this. John just finished describing one like the Son of Man who holds the stars in his right hand. And then John goes on to say, this one like the Son of Man places that very same hand, the right hand, on John's shoulder. The Father in heaven has his hand on you. The Father in heaven, despite everything else going on in the world and in your life, has his hand on you. This is more than just a cute picture, more than just a picture of endearment. It is, for the first century Christians, a reminder that God has not forgotten every single human being on this earth. This is a reminder for 21st century Christians, for you and me, to remember that God has not abandoned us. John invites us into the reality of his vision. One like the Son of Man has his hand on John's shoulder. And John, by communicating the vision, invites us into that very same experience. It's a message of assurance that you hear and that you can see. In other words, there's more to life than what we might expect. But if we can't develop an imagination for it, we'll never trust in Christ's might. Say, it's just words, it's just visions, it's not real. But if you never develop an imagination, if you never develop the vision of the majesty and the might of Christ, then in the middle of difficult times, in the middle of hardship, it's going to be tremendously difficult to trust in Christ's majesty, to trust in Christ's might. And so to all who have been disappointed with life, Jesus says, I am the first and the last. And you've got to be able to not just hear those words, but you've got to be able to picture those words. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. That image has to live in your mind as you live out your faith. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. It's not just a shy hope that we have. It's a sure hope. A sure hope. Christ's victory really happened in his death and in his resurrection. But that's easily forgotten for first century Christians. All the more easily forgotten for 21st century Christians. John's vision with Jesus' hand on his shoulder is real. In verse 12 of chapter 1. John hears a voice like the sound of a trumpet. And the sound says, and the voice says, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. And then John says something very curious, because we might otherwise imagine that all of John's visions were while John was, he was probably, just taking an afternoon nap, and he was laying down, and he was just kind of picturing this in his mind. Just a dream. But no. He hears a trumpet, and then before he begins to see the vision, he says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. John physically turns around. This vision is real. It's all around him. This is reality. John is communicating this vision not just to impress us with what a grand vision God communicated to John. But he's communicating this vision to us so that we can also develop that same vision and be convinced of the very reality of God's last word over all creation. And that last word is Jesus Christ. And then finally, with that vision of the living one, we see the mission of Christ. We're drawn into the majesty of Jesus. And then we're surrounded with the might of Christ. And then we are also sent into the mission of Christ. Because Jesus holds the keys of death and Hades. Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Many have no key of life everlasting. Many have no key to discerning the meaning and the purpose of their lives. Well, some work hard. Some work hard all their life to find out if there is any kind of key. And they try all kinds of methods on their own. And then there are others who let life just drag on, and they try to squeeze every ounce of thrill out of life while they still can, because nothing else will happen. But it's an incredible waste. Like stacks of money left to rot in a vault for which no one can find the right combination to open it. Except that we know the combination. You and I, we know the combination. Jesus, the one who holds the keys to open our lives to the light of life, to joy, to freedom, to glory. Just as the sealed stone was rolled away in Jesus' resurrection, Jesus removes the seal of our lives and gives us victory over darkness. That's a vision of reality. And then as soon as Jesus reveals that to John, he says, "Now write, therefore, what you have seen." Write, therefore. And there's that theme of words and story and communicating and passing on. Words. "I am the word," Jesus says. "Write, therefore, what you have seen." John's told to write it down, to share it. John's vision is part of a larger vision for the church. This isn't John's just personal little cool episode to encourage him. This is for the church. This news that Jesus releases us from the despair of death's doom, that he renews our life, this news stands at the very center of our existence as a church, as Christians in this world. It's the very heartbeat of the church. It gives life to the church, even as we experience and share that renewal from the deadness of our own lives. We've got to pass it on. We've got to share that key of death and Hades so that others can be released into the same freedom and glory that we enjoy. That's what John is communicating. It's the last word on Christ. That Christ, in his majesty, in his might, and in his mission in this world, holds all things together. That is the reality, even if we see things falling apart. This, what John reveals in his revelation, is reality. So here's what I want us to do as we begin this series and reflect on it. First, dare to see visions. Dare to dream dreams. And don't think of them just as, oh, that's just an imagination. It's not real. The visions that we need to see, the dreams that we need to dream, they're not just sucked out of our thumb. They're to be rooted in the very Word of God. John's vision is rooted in the very Word of God. All the more important for us to be reading the Bible, to be spending time in Scripture, if for no other reason than to familiarize ourselves with the images the Bible uses to reveal reality to us, to reveal to us the way things really are. even though as we look around, we say, oh, this is hopeless. Oh, that's a disaster. Oh, this is chaos. But learn from the Bible what reality really looks like. And so hopefully you can follow the reading calendar. Even if you're on vacation, take it along and follow along. And in that way, at least we're tagging along together through the book of Revelation. Familiar yourselves with the visions. Have patience with yourself as you wrestle with it and go, oh, I don't know what this means. It's okay. And then second of all, just remember that Jesus is the central image. See him and you will see everything hold together. Not only in the book of Revelation, but this is essentially the beginning of summer, I guess, and we're going to celebrate all of the ministry that we've accomplished, all of the opportunities, all of the ways in which we've participated in the mission of God in this world. I want to celebrate that today. But also as you head on out into summer vacations and spend time elsewhere, you're going to see all kinds of things, all kinds of neat things. So also in the book of Revelation, we see all kinds of neat things, all kinds of descriptions, all kinds of speculations. But if it's first of all not about Jesus Christ, then it is nothing. Hold firmly, hold fast to the image of Jesus Christ, who has the last word and who is the last word on all that there is. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you give to us this final word, a word of tremendous assurance in the book of Revelation. But even more so, thank you that you've given us the final word, Jesus Christ. And so may we hold fast to that vision, God, in the midst of our daily routines, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of the complications of life, in the midst of our worries and fears, may we hold fast to the vision of Jesus Christ, who holds all things together. Fix that in our minds, Father. Fix that in our hearts, in the reality of our living, so that our confidence is not in ourselves, our confidence is not in our knowledge, our confidence is not in our savvy, our confidence is not in how well we can work things, our confidence is not in technology, our confidence is not in powers or in principalities, our confidence is not in political leaders, but that our confidence in life is always in Jesus Christ. And so we offer ourselves to you, God, as we seek to be also people who live in the Spirit as John did. And so anoint us with your Holy Spirit. Send us on our way, not only from this place, but send us on our way as we go about through the summer, traveling and exploring and taking time off. And in every moment and in every turn of our lives, God, remind us of the presence of Jesus in our midst. One like the Son of Man who restores all things. May we rejoice in that glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So would you stand and receive the blessing of our God as we go from this place, and then we're going to sing a last song, and then our esteemed MC for the chili cook-off is going to come up here and give you final announcements. I believe he's got some important information for you so that you know what's going on.